reading to you from the 21st chapter of John, and with the 12th verse. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God slipped up on my blind side and called me to preach. No, I didn't want to be a preacher, but oh, I'm so glad he called me. You know, friends, I've not been everything that God wants me to be, I'm sure. I've made mistakes just like anyone else. You know, a lot of preachers won't admit that, but we make mistakes. Sure we do. But I want you to know, friend, if you've got a church and you've got a pastor, I want you today, tonight, to pray for that pastor. Pray that God will encourage him. And if he's not doing what he ought to do, you pray that God will help him to do what he's supposed to be. Because preachers aren't perfect. Oh, no, they're not. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Isaiah, and that's the first chapter of Isaiah, and with the 18th verse. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Well, friends, we've labeled this, "Come and be cleaned." Now, I want you to know, it's strange that God invites people to come to him. You know, one would think that we would be knocking on his door. Well, you know what, friends, just like I tell the men in prison, you go out and you're out in the world, wine, woman, and song, and you don't have time to call on the Lord, you don't have time to worship, you don't have time to go to church, because you're too busy having a good time. But I read in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, if you're not saved tonight, of course you're lost. There's only two kind of people, saved people and lost people. And I'll tell you right up front, dear friend, you know, God, he'll let you go the way you want to. You don't have to be saved tonight or tomorrow or the next day. But are you willing to go to hell because you wouldn't take time for Jesus? I don't think so. If you really, honestly, truthfully believed in a devil's hell, and I will be surprised. I have been so surprised over the years. I've talked to Christians that, you know, I really don't believe that place. I'm not getting saved because I'm afraid to go to hell. I'd just like to know the Lord. Well, I got news for you. No man in this world will ever go to heaven unless they first repent of their sins and accept Jesus. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you see, God seeks us before we seek him. Now, Isaiah called to invite people to come and be clean. A wonderful invitation. An invitation is still being extended to this very day. Well, what's this invitation about? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. This might shake you and might shock you. When I was saved 55 years ago, you couldn't go into a church anywhere, hardly in America, that an invitation was extended after the pastor preached his message that people was invited to trust Christ. You would be amazed, you'd be startled at the big, huge, fancy churches that we have right here in Denver, Colorado, who do not give an invitation after they preach. Some will say, well, if you'd like to talk to the pastor after the service about your life with Jesus, you come to the pastor and he'll talk to you. That's a bunch of malarkey. You know what? Years and years ago, I learned a lesson the hard way. I was associate pastor of a church in up in Washington, and the pastor was out of town, and so he wanted me to hold a Sunday night service. Well, I was a truck driver in the rescue mission there, and I was trying to win a Lummi Island Indian to the Lord, Joe Hoskins, the meanest Indian I ever met in my life. Spent most all of his life, teenage life, in reform school, and then he got out, and then he took his arm off, and he got his arm hurt, removed his arm, and then he got to 7 or 8 years in a federal penitentiary. Well, so I was trying to win Joe, and he hated Christians, and he hated preachers, but somehow God was using me to let him know that God really loved him. Well, this night, he came to the service, which he'd never done before, and I just about didn't give an invitation. I really didn't, but the Lord laid on my heart, you better do it. I gave an invitation that night, and guess who was gloriously saved? Old Joe Hoskins, the mean Lummi Island Indian. Oh, I'm so glad. You know, friends, if I come to your house, and let's say I'm an insurance salesman, and I'm telling you about this policy and what the benefits are, and you are so excited you can't hardly wait to get your checkbook out, and then I close my book, and I say, well, it's been good talking with you, walk out and leave you sitting there with your mouth hanging open. Wouldn't that be stupid? Well, it'd be stupid to get up and preach the gospel and not invite people to come to Christ. That's the purpose of preaching, is to sharing the good news of salvation to a lost world. An invitation to reason at a very unreasonable time. Come now and let us reason together. Isaiah's nation was in deep trouble, and the people had rebelled against the Lord. And I read in Isaiah's second verse, I reared children and brought them up, but they had rebelled against me. And the ox knows his master, the donkey his own manager, but Israel does not know my people, do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Oh, my dear friends, they rebelled against the Lord. Friends, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something that shocked me. I was listening to the news the other night. And as you know, here in Colorado, we have maximum security prison with a, it's like San Quentin, San Quentin used to be. Well, anyway, Obama, my president, wrote a book. And it was so bad that they could not let it be read in that maximum security prison because it would gender strife and cause the men to be upset. That's a true story. Now, in this book, President Obama said, I would rather do away with Christianity and work with the Muslims. Otherwise, friends, he is a Muslim. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. They chose not to think about God in the third verse. The ox knows it's his master, the donkey his own manager, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. I wonder how many people understand today that a terrible thing is going on in America. America is being changed for the worse. We are losing our freedom every day, every day. The one that I fought for, my sons fought for, and the men and women of America, Marines and soldiers and Air Force and sailors, are fighting to keep our freedom, and the present administration is robbing it from us, taking us away. Some of these days, there's going to be have to change somewhere, somehow. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved. God is still on his throne. They want to throw God out. They tried to throw him out of Russia. They've tried to throw him out of China. They've tried to throw him out of Cuba and Korea and all those places. And right now, the present administration is trying to throw him out of America. Ain't going to happen, beloved. Ain't going to happen. If you and I who know Jesus will stand up and pray and lean on the Lord and let him work this thing out, he's going to do it. Sin was rampant. Corruption was everywhere. The wayward ones had no respond, had not responded to chastening in verse 5. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart afflicted. But let me tell you what. Still, God invited them to come to him and reason together. Oh, my friends, what love. Listen. An invitation from God at an ungodly time. The source is, saith the Lord. Now, I can say a lot of things, but it don't mean a thing if thus saith the Lord isn't involved. He knows what's going on in America. He knows what's going on in the world. And I'll tell you something else, beloved, to give you a good piece of advice. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back pretty quick. Don't know when. Have any idea when he's coming back. But only God the Father knows. But he is coming back. And he's going to rapture his church. And those of us who believe in him should be, and first of all, those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us who will remain alive shall be caught up to be with him. And those, there'll be seven horrible, horrible years. Oh, my stars, what a terrible thing. The Antichrist will raise his ugly head. People will have to receive the mark of the beast. Oh, people who rejected his way and his word. People who had grieved and provoked his Holy Spirit. The people reminded Isaiah of Sodom and Gomorrah. In 9 and 10 it says, unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God. You people of Gomorrah, today he's standing with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. Listen, anybody who comes to the Lord through Jesus will be saved if they repent. But you can't circumvent Jesus and get to heaven. It won't happen. Excuse me while I have a nice glass of real good lemonade. Thank you. I'm so glad the Lord made lemons, aren't you? They're sour and everything. You got to sweeten them up. But, oh, listen, there's nothing more refreshing than a nice glass of lemonade. I ought to sell it on the radio, shouldn't I? A few righteous ones kept them from destruction. Well, Isaiah called them citizens of this wicked cities, of those wicked cities. Now, today the Lord is doing the same thing. Did you know that? He's calling people today. He's got outstretched arms. Why in the world do you think hundreds and hundreds of men and women in Colorado alone, never mind the United States, who go every Sunday to prison and every three, four times a week to win people unto Christ? You say, well, why do you waste your time in prison? Well, because Jesus said, I was in prison and ye visited me not. You see, if you've done this to the least of mine, you've done it unto to me. Well, we think that it's not important, but I'll tell you, my friends, some of the greatest Christians in the world I've ever met were saved in prison, came out of prison and did something with their life. I remember old Gus down in, when I went to a convention years and years ago, back in the 60s, I believe, down in Roanoke, Virginia. And I met a man by the name of Gus. He was the director of the rescue mission in Roanoke, Virginia. A few years before that, he had cold-bloodedly killed a man in cold blood. Was sent to prison for 10 years or so. I don't remember how many years. But anyway, he was an atheist. He was a non-believer. Anyway, one Sunday, one of the Christian men in the cell said, "Why don't you come and go to church?" He said, "Well, I don't believe in that junk." He said, "Well, come on anyway. You get out of the cell and you do some good." He went there day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and he heard the good news that Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save him from eternity in hell. And old Gus got on his knees and repented of his sin and cried out to God to save his soul. God saved him. And it was just a short time, 2 or 3 years after that, that he received his pardon from prison. He went to Roanoke, Virginia, and he started going with this wonderful Christian girl. He ended up marrying her, and him and her together started a mission there in Roanoke, which is one of the biggest missions, one of the bigger missions in the United States. And I'd spoken that mission many, many times, but I'll tell you what I learned. I'd go down to mission and I'd visit with Gus when I was preaching revivals in Virginia. Those men and those women loved that dear old man. Oh, he had such a sweet spirit. He was so tender. He loved people. And he led hundreds of people to Christ before he died. I had the privilege, my wife and I, of spending a night with him and his wife in his home, in his new home he was so proud of. But one day the Lord said, "Well, Gus, you've done your job. Now I'm going to take you home." You see, even their feasts were abomination to the Lord. Nevertheless, God kept inviting them to come and be clean. An invitation for cleansing at a sinful time. Now, this is an invitation to be forgiven. You say, "Cecil, wait a minute. You as an alcoholic, I can understand why you need to be saved. But I've lived a good life. I pay my bills. I don't beat my wife. I don't beat my dog. And I give to the poor and the needy. I read my Bible. I go to church. I've been baptized. You mean to tell me I need to come to Jesus?" Friend, if you've not repented of your sins, you're doomed, damned, and lost. Not one of us on this earth deserve to go to heaven. It said in Romans 6:20, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal, everlasting life." God gives salvation. You don't earn it. You can't buy it. He'll give it to you freely if you'll meet the conditions. Well, what is the conditions? Repent. Turn from your old ways and come to Jesus, recognizing that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. He was sinless, and yet there came a time when he took your sins and my sins upon him so that you and I could go to heaven. And he's still standing with outstretched arms. I wonder what he's saying to you tonight. I wonder, dear friend, if there isn't a kind of a little thumping at your heart tonight. I just wonder that. Do you feel that your life has been a waste? That you've done nothing? Have you made this world a better place since you come into the world? I wonder if I've helped make it a better place. From scarlet red to as white as snow. From crimson red to as white as wool. Now, this was a desire of David's heart after his sin. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, friends. Now, David did a terrible sin. You know he did. He committed adultery, and to cover up his sin, he had her husband killed, and he didn't sleep with his wife that night. But he couldn't cover his sin up, and he knew it. Friends, you cannot cover your sin tonight. The only thing that will cover your sins that will work is the precious, precious blood of Jesus. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we need to sing those powerful old hymns in a church and quit these doobie-doobies that they put on the screen up on the wall. We call them John or 7-Eleven. They just repeat themselves. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Come on. Tell them what causes you to be saved. The blood of Jesus. Because he loves you. Oh, listen. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God meets sinners where they are and cleanses them. See, God is still calling to the unreasonable and the ungodly, believe it or not. He will forgive and cleanse all who come to him. Listen to this in 1 John 1:9. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Then I read in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Isn't it reasonable to respond to his call tonight? Don't you think it? Don't you think? Come and be clean. Listen, friends. There's not enough water in the oceans or the seas of the world to wash away one sin from your soul. Not one. Only one drop of blood from Jesus can cleanse you and make your sins white. Oh, he can do that. You say, Cecil, look, you're always hammering you got to be born again. No, you don't. I've told you before. You don't have to be born again. You can go your natural way, doing what you're doing every day. But when your life is ended, now it does say in the Scripture that every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is the Christ. Now, each and every one of us today are going to someday stand before God and give an account for our lives. Every one of us are. Can't get around it. When you die. Now, when we die as Christians, we go to sleep and we go right to heaven. But the lost man will be going to hell. And hell is a place of terrible torment where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't you remember the rich man said, have Lazarus come down and dip his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames. That Jesus told that story. It's a true story. All right, you say, Cecil, I'm convinced. I got a tugging at my heart. Well, if you got a tugging at your heart, then it's a good idea that God is saying, come unto me, all you laboring, heavy laden. He knows that you're not perfect. He knew I wasn't perfect the morning I gave my heart to Jesus. And more worse than that, I was drunk. But oh, the Holy Spirit sobered me up in a hurry when he come into my heart and saved my soul. He'll do the same thing for you tonight. If you'd like to trust Jesus and you really feel that you need Jesus, I want you to bow your head and repeat this sinner's prayer. But oh, please don't pray it unless you really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done in my life that's been wrong. And Father, I do want to open my heart and receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I want you to get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I won't use your name on the air. And I will not. I don't care where you go to church. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Okay, I'm sitting by my phone. If you can't afford to call, call collect, and I'll be happy to pay for it. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Need. this blessed Savior.
Well, dear friends, thank you for listening. Your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. And I thank you so much for praying for us. Oh, my, it's so important. And I really appreciate it. My wife and I both do. And we're going to prison this Sunday. And we're looking forward to those men and those women who we love and who we want more than anything in the world to go to heaven. Well, friends, I tell you what, just keep praying for us. Now, I pray for you. You say, well, how come you don't know my name? Well, I don't know your name. God knows your name. And I pray for my very listening family, and I do every week, every day, twice, three times a day. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.